for a free night that same night just by using the La Quinta app.
I feel like I'd win at business more than you.
I'd cream you at business.
Impossible. I'm undefeated at business.
Go to LQ.com now and prepare to win at business.
When you run a growing business, you wear a lot of hats. The I ordered it hat, the Mr. Fix-It hat, the it's taken care of because I handled it yesterday hat. My favorite hat? My I received an order from Granger hat. I look my best in that one. Granger's got the products I need and gets me them when I need them, no matter what hat I'm wearing that day. You know what? I love Granger. You know why? Because Granger's got my back. Call clickgranger.com or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Napa Know How.
Ever wish you could have your own walk-up music? Napa has the rugged Bluetooth speaker on sale for $29.99. It's portable and waterproof, which means you can play walk-up music anywhere. Showing up to a party? Walk-up music. Doing a sweet cannonball? Walk-up music. The rugged Bluetooth speaker at Napa for $29.99 makes everything cooler. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 6/30/17.
Blaney's got a plan after notching his first cup win.
Try to win the next one.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
AutoZone presents Wash and Wax. Washing your car removes road grime and dirt buildup that can scratch your car's finish, while a good coat of wax helps protect that beautiful shine. And with summer right around the corner, it's the perfect time to pick up Armor All Protectant Wipes for just $3.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Where will you be when NASCAR comes to Chicago's fastest loop? 4 days of racing, tailgating, camping, and music come to Chicagoland Speedway September 14th through the 17th. Tickets for Sunday Chicagoland 400 are available now. Camping spots are available and selling fast. All kids tickets $25 off adult price and free on certain race days. Get your tickets and campsite now at ChicagolandSpeedway.com. Chicagoland Speedway, the monster. Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoffs start here.
The feel-good victory for Ryan Blaney at Pocono Sunday was not only a first for the driver at NASCAR's top level, it was also the 99th for the storied Wood Brothers team. So what do they do for an encore after all but locking into the playoffs? Blaney says, keep it rolling.
You know, Michigan is a huge race for us. Having Ford and Motorcraft and Quicklane on the car, they're right down the road. That is a huge race for us. We always have Edsel sit on the box, and that'd be really neat to get him in victory lane. Our mindset doesn't change. We just want to go out and keep trying to win races. You carry this momentum as long as you can, and just try to keep building. I don't think we change up anything.
Blaney will be a guest Tuesday night at 7 Eastern on NASCAR Live, and check out MRN.com now for a breakdown of the Pocono weekend with Motorsports Monday. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
It's 6:05. Welcome to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, hour number 3 of 3. And we'll kick it off on all three frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, our historic signal that reaches all across eastern Iowa with a Freedom Festival prize pack, 319-366-1600, caller number 6. Is going to win that Freedom Festival prize pack, and Kyle will let you know how you can get your hands on it. It is 6 minutes after 6 o'clock. That is of interest to fans of the Minnesota Twins listening all across eastern Iowa right now, because the Twins are on the clock. The Major League Baseball draft officially underway. They have the first selection. I guess you could say they won the honor by not winning very many games last year. But the Twins are rumored to be down to 2 players with the number 1 overall selection. And we'll find out just who it is that they're going to be taking momentarily. But it does not, unless a change occurs, it does not look like Hunter Green, who was profiled on the cover of Sports Illustrated quite a while ago, will be the number 1 pick. The last time that the Twins had the number 1 overall selection, they took Joe Mauer, who was right in their backyard, but he was a risky play because he was a high school catcher. He wound up not only making it to the major leagues, but he has the 4th highest career wins above replacement of any number one pick in the draft's history. And yet, Twins fans, I think if you asked them what their opinion of Joe Mauer was right now, you'd get a mixed bag from people. I understand it. He and Michael Kadire were given big contracts, and then injuries sort of took their toll on both players, and Joe Mauer was much more valuable behind the plate than he was at first base or designated hitter for the Twins, and he suffered the concussions, and he has struggled to get his career back on track ever since then. And in addition to those struggles, he's also aged, which is just a natural part of the career process for players. And now you've got a lot of Twins fans that are just, they've got Mauer fatigue, if you will. But when you look back on that draft selection, when it's Joe Mauer or Mark Pryor, and I think it's pretty easy to say at this point that the Twins made the right call on that. Does Mark Pryor have a different career if the Minnesota Twins draft him?
Probably not.
Probably not. But I guess you don't know. And the Twins got a twofer there because in drafting Joe Mauer, they got a local product who was going to be the face of the franchise. When you're drafting number one overall, you want a guy who's going to be the face of your franchise for the next decade. And that's what the Twins got in Joe Mauer. Now, he's past his prime. He's over the hill. But that's a home run pick.
That's, you couldn't, in this day of the Major League Baseball draft, you couldn't really ask for a number one pick to contribute to your franchise really any more than what Joe Mauer has to the Twins, can you? Because go back and just pick a random draft. Five or maybe not even 10. Five maybe of those guys in the first round are going to be all-stars. And I think historically, of the number one overall picks, a little bit under half of them turned out to be all-stars. It is as big of a crapshoot, maybe save the besides the NHL draft, as you can get. And it becomes even more of a crapshoot when you're drafting high school kids. So for a guy like Joe Mauer, who was drafted out of high school and developed into, for a time, a star in Major League Baseball, it's hard to ask more than what he contributed. Of course, you're going to have the talk about the contract, and that's, I think, where things go a little bit sour.
Well, according to Jim Callis at MLB.com, formerly of Baseball America, he is reporting that the Minnesota Twins made a pre-draft contract offer to Brendan McKay of Louisville, and McKay turned them down. And so the Minnesota Twins are expected to announce with the first pick in the draft tonight that they will draft Royce Lewis. With that first pick, Callis now says, expect Brendan McKay to go number four to Tampa Bay.
Now this has implications for Cedar Rapids. We will see if that holds up a number one overall pick in Cedar Rapids. Maybe not this year, but you would think next year.
If it's a high school kid, you're going to see him in Cedar Rapids. The last time that the Twins took a college player with the number one overall pick, or the first round selection, I should say, it was Tyler J out of Illinois a couple years ago, and he went directly to Fort Myers in the Florida State League, and we didn't see him here. Now, I know that the Colonels have pretty much begged the Twins to send whoever it is that they draft number one overall to Cedar Rapids, even if it's for a game, because the way that things work is if somebody appears in a game for you, then you can do things like make bobbleheads. Colonels, by the way, have a Mike Trout bobblehead coming up. I think it's the second or third time they've given a Mike Trout bobblehead away. But you can't do anything with a guy if he doesn't wear your uniform. So even if he's here for a game and then gets promoted, then they can lay claim to him. Now, Royce Lewis is a high school player. I'm taking a look. Friend of the show, Keith Law, who was so happy to be on.
Such a friend of the
because show. Because he had a book to promote. Otherwise, he wouldn't come on the show.
And he made that clear, too.
And made it very clear.
Crystal clear.
Keith Law says, I saw Lewis in early May, plus runner, good bat speed, shortstop now but won't stay there, most likely to end up in center field, have had many scouts and execs rave about the kid's makeup slash personality too. Okay, the Twins have a center fielder, and a really good one, at least defensively. The bat isn't where you want it to be yet with Byron Buxton, but I don't think it's time to give up on Buxton. And this is the beauty of the Major League Baseball draft, is that the lead time here on a high school kid is going to be, at least of this caliber, 3, 4, 5 years. So you've got Buxton in center field right now. Are they drafting Byron Buxton's replacement tonight with the number one overall selection? Now, this will be fascinating to see, because this clearly will be a money deal for the Twins. If they can get Lewis number one overall, they've got two other picks in the top 37 picks. And what they do with those two picks, in my opinion, may be more interesting and more vital to the franchise's long-term success than what they do with the number one overall pick. By the way, congratulations going out to Jason in Anamosa. He was our Freedom Festival prize pack winner tonight.
Let me ask you this, Todd, because you know more about this than I do. But when you have a complete rebuild, or at least a rebuild with a new regime, there's always a style in which the new people in town want to rebuild the franchise. With the Cubs, they wanted to load up on bats, because they play in a ballpark that is very conducive to hitting home runs, and they did that, and they successfully rebuilt their franchise. With the San Diego Padres, they wanted to load up on pitching because they play in that big ballpark. If you're the Minnesota Twins, you play in Target Field, what direction do you want to go from a front office standpoint to try to rebuild this franchise, knowing the pieces that you have, whether it's Byron Buxton or some of the young guys like Jose Berríos already coming up through your system and making it to the major leagues?
I think that's an interesting question, and I don't have the answer for that. I think it's fascinating to see what this group does with this pick, because I think I know what the previous regime would have done. And the previous regime probably would have gone with Kyle Wright, number one overall.
Signability?
A combination of signability and almost a guarantee that he'll reach the major leagues. Whereas this group seems to be a lot more attuned to ceiling and getting a major talent, but maybe taking a little bit of a risk in the process, or at least leveraging that pick, because you can't trade the number one overall pick, the draft order. You can trade players after they're drafted, but that's neither here nor there. So the only leverage that a team has with the number one overall pick is what it does with it. And I know that that sounds like tremendous insight, but what I mean by that is that the leverage that they have with that pick, the way that the bonus pool is set up in the first 10 rounds, Major League Baseball dictates how much money a team can spend in the first 10 rounds without having to pay a rather exorbitant penalty for going over, which I believe is 10% of the total pool is the fine. So you've got a certain number of dollars that you can spend, and you've got a finite number of picks. And so if you can take a kid and save $750,000 over drafting another kid, number one overall, and you've got picks, what do the Twins have, 33 and 37, something like that? And all of a sudden at 33, you've got a kid who is projected to be a top 15 talent, but he's fallen because teams don't think that they can buy him out of his commitment to Arizona State, or let me throw a Cinderella out, Sam Houston State, Davidson. Give some love to the Cinderellas, even though none of them will be dancing in Omaha this year. If a team can take that savings at the number one overall pick and then reinvest it in those later picks, and suddenly, as the Astros did several years ago, you draft Carlos Correa, you save a little bit of money. It seems ridiculous now to think about it, because Correa is a superstar, but he wasn't the consensus number one overall pick in the draft that year, and for a number of reasons. Won't go into that. But they took Correa number one overall, and they had a game plan, and that plan was, okay, when Lance McCullers falls into, I think it was the second round, We're going to draft him, and we're going to use the money to sign him. He wants more money than some clubs are willing to pay him. We'll have that money left over. And oh, by the way, when we get to the third or fourth round, there's this high school kid, Rio Ruiz, who also wants a lot of money. And we're going to have money to sign him, too, because we saved a huge chunk of money because the bonus allocated for the number one overall pick is huge. It's like $6 million. So if that sounds like baseball draft for idiots 101, my apologies. But that's apparently what the Twins are doing here. I'm assuming that they've already made the pick.
The pick is Royce Lewis.
So there
you
go.
Number one overall.
Royce Lewis, shortstop, but he's not going to stay there, according to Keith Law. Probably a center fielder. You've got a center fielder right now in Byron Buxton, but you've got the luxury of slow playing this and letting him develop. And I'll tell you what, right now, if I'm a baseball fan in Cedar Rapids,
exactly.
And
I'm excited.
I'm not getting paid to say this. My wife works for the team. I couldn't care less. I love them as a sponsor here at KGYM. I got no dog in this fight, literally.
We're going to see a number one pick in Cedar Rapids.
You've got last year's number one first round. I keep saying number one pick. It's confusing. Last year's first pick for the Twins was Alex Kirilloff. I think he went 19th. He's a corner outfielder who is missing this season because he's undergoing Tommy John surgery. So you've got the possibility next year of seeing two first-round draft picks for the Twins in the outfield here in Cedar Rapids, and chances are they're going to be here all season long. Whether they're good or bad, they're high school kids, and it would be probably an aggressive assignment for Lewis next year. Maybe we don't see him until May or June. I don't know how the Twins want to handle this, assuming that he signs. He could always turn him down. They wouldn't have drafted him if they didn't have a deal in place, as evidenced by the discussion surrounding Brendan McKay. So here you go. Cincinnati Reds fans, I'm telling you, I think you just won the lottery. Forget $435 million in the Powerball and buying a liquor store and a deli, which we talked about in hour number one of the program, podcast available at kgymradio.com. The real lottery here is with Hunter Green and the Reds at number two.
And it's now official.
And that's who they've taken. So you talk to a lot of draft experts, and they say Hunter Green was the number one player. Hunter Green wanted a lot of money. I think the Twins had the money to sign him, but for a number of reasons, they chose to pass on him, take another high school kid. And if they drafted Hunter Green, they wouldn't have been able to take whoever it is that they will select with these two other picks in the 32 to 37 range. Again, I can't remember where they're at. A better host would have written the draft order down or had it in front of him. I'm trying to do things off the top of my head, and I'm failing miserably.
Now, would there be a chance that with that 32 or 37 pick that they would draft somebody, if someone falls out of the top 10, where they're paying that player at that position almost as much as the number one overall pick?
Well, no. What I'm saying is they'll have enough money to meet that player's demands,
right?
Most likely.
The reason I asked that is because we talked about Mike Cameron's son, Daz Cameron.
Daz Cameron, who's in the Midwest League right now for the second time.
And he fell to the second round, or the compensatory round.
He was a late, I think he was a comp round pick
and he
in
got,
the 30s.
And he got a $2 or $3 million signing bonus. So that's why I wonder if they draft somebody who does fall to that spot, they will now have more money to pay that particular player. But I also want to know, and when do the Midwest League schedules come out for next year?
They'll come out in mid-September.
I
think they release them almost right away.
I really hope the Dayton Dragons find their way to Cedar Rapids next year.
I can tell you right now, they will be coming through Cedar Rapids next year because it's an every other year thing with the Eastern Division teams. And Dayton was here last year because Nick Senzel was with them shortly after the draft. So Dayton will be here next year, and there's a good chance that as long as it's not April or early May because of the weather conditions in the Midwest League, there's a good chance that Hunter Green will be coming through Cedar Rapids, just not wearing a Colonel's uniform. Now, it's interesting to note here that in making the selection, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred announced him as a right-handed pitcher. So the Reds are banking on that 102-mile-an-hour fastball. And then, much like Brendan McKay at Louisville, if you don't cut it as a pitcher, maybe you go back to the drawing board as a hitter. Or vice versa, maybe McKay is drafted as a hitter, and then I think it's very unlikely he's going to be selected by Tampa Bay as a pitcher, and then a fallback plan would always be to have him pick up a bat. But it looks like Hunter Green will start out as a right-handed pitcher. So the top two picks in the draft are high school kids, a high school shortstop / center field, and then you've got the right-handed pitcher, Hunter Green, who is on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and people are wondering if he's baseball's LeBron James, which is high praise, but when you read about this kid and his appreciation for the game and what it means to possibly be that African-American superstar player that baseball seems to struggle with finding, and then when they do occasionally, they really struggle marketing those players. This kid is something special. And I think Cincinnati may have just fallen into something here. Now, that being said, there is no guarantee that either one of these guys make it to the major leagues. And that's why it's really difficult to follow along and get excited about the Major League Baseball draft, because there are so many variables along the way. And all it takes is an injury here or, well, it's mainly injuries, because scouting today is so good that they don't often miss on talent alone. But I've seen it a number of times. Guys have the talent, and then they get hurt, and it's a career ender for them. So hopefully, like I've seen teams say, Hunter Green throws too many fastballs. He's going to blow out his arm. He's going to need surgery. Man, I would still take that chance on him, especially knowing that you've always got an opportunity 2, 3, 4 years down the road to go back to the drawing board. And my comp on him, and it's a terrible one, but I'm talking scenario here, would be Matt Bush, who was drafted with the first overall pick by the San Diego Padres back in 2004. And he was taken over a lot of other good players. Steven Drew, I think, was in that draft. Justin Verlander was in that draft. He was from the San Diego area, and they knew they could save a ton of money if they signed him, if they drafted him first overall. And they did so as a shortstop, and then Bush's career dovetailed out of control, and he had a drinking problem, and he ran over a guy and did some prison time. And it's not a story that needs to be celebrated, but where is Matt Bush today? He's pitching in the 9th inning for the Texas Rangers.
He's the closer for the Rangers.
So that's where I'm looking here. You can stick a guy out there at shortstop, and if he doesn't play well, maybe you go back to the drawing board, and those innings where he was at short have saved his arm to the point where you can still get maximum potential out of him as a pitcher.
And from reading the SI article about Hunter Green, he is a guy that a lot of scouts think could be a major league, I'm not going to say shortstop, but a major league position player, which is interesting because you talk about Brendan McKay, the same type of thing. And I hear scouts kind of split, and I would say that more of them lean towards the pitcher angle with both of these two, because I think pitchers are more coveted. But both of them are pretty highly coveted as hitters as well.
And Hunter Green has said all the right things, quoted on the MLB Network as saying, Cincinnati, it's a great ball club, a beautiful stadium, a great fan base, so I am excited. And now he's going to get down to the brass tacks with his advisors, and he's going to wring every penny he can out of the Reds. But they've probably have known that he was going to fall to them for a while, and I'm sure that they've been in discussions, and we'll see how quickly things come together there. I think he's got a college commitment to UCLA.
Correct.
But these kids so oftentimes don't even think about setting foot on campus. It's just a piece of leverage to them.
Now, assuming both of these players, the top two picks, sign in, I would say, the next month or so, is there any chance that we could see either of them in the Midwest League this year?
I'll say no. High school kids are a really tough sell. And Minnesota especially has taken it really slow with their high school kids. I remember Ben Revere, Aaron Hicks, if I recall correctly, those were high school kids. And they wound up bringing them along one step at a time up the rung, which is good because they'll park a guy in Cedar Rapids and you get to see him for quite a while. And again, I'm intrigued about Alex Kirilloff and Royce Lewis now possibly in the same outfield next year at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Again, if you're a baseball fan, you've got to like this. By the way, when you take a look at the top of the draft board, not only are there a lot of teams with affiliates in the Midwest League, but those Eastern Division teams that only visit once a year, if Tampa Bay takes Brendan McKay, and maybe he's with Bowling Green next year, they come here as well. I don't think he'll probably be with Bowling Green. I think if Brendan McKay is drafted by the Rays and signs with them, he'll probably be in Bowling Green at some time this year, as he'll be on the fast track. He's the guy, I think, who can get to the big leagues the fastest. And
as a pitcher.
As a pitcher. As a bat, maybe a little bit longer. But it's so very rare. Remember in 2014, Brandon Finnegan went from pitching in the College World Series with TCU to pitching in the World Series with the Royals. He was the first ever player to do it, to pitch in the College World Series and the World Series in the same year. But it's rare to see teams race guys to the major leagues straight out of the draft. Now, it's not to say that it won't happen with a couple of these guys. It ain't going to be high school kids, I can tell you that much.
Now, with the Twins especially, is Byron Buxton somewhat of a cautionary tale for what you just brought up? I heard a lot of people bring this up, saying that they felt that they may have rushed him a little bit to the major leagues. Do you buy into that?
I think regardless of whether a player comes out of the high school or the college ranks, how you handle them and getting them to the major leagues and on what timetable is definitely something that comes into play. And, you know, I go back to the situation that the Angels faced in 2008 with Nick Adenhart, who was a good friend of mine. They rushed him to the major leagues probably a year ahead of schedule, and he made three starts, and he absolutely bombed, and he was bad. And then he turned around the next year, and his one and only start that year before he lost his life in that drunk driving accident was, I thought, tremendous and a sign of things to come with this kid. And part of Nick's issue was he got rushed to the majors and he wasn't ready for it. And he would have readily admitted that. And I think with Buxton, look, the Twins were in a position 2 years ago where suddenly they're contending, they're getting excited about it, they've got Buxton in the minor leagues, and was it July, I think, when they brought him up? Sort of accelerated the timetable a little bit, but the fans were excited, they were buying tickets, they were starting to believe that that team was a contender, and Minnesota pushed the button. And I don't necessarily blame them for it, but I think Byron probably needed a little bit more time in the minor leagues, and you're sort of seeing the result of that right now. But I will say this, he's still a positive wins above replacement player defensively. And if his bat ever clicks, then what a tremendous player he's going to be. But right now, even though he's hitting 206 or whatever it is, he's still contributing with his glove more so than a lot of other major league center fielders are who are hitting in the 206 range. It is 6:31. We'll step aside and take a quick break, long overdue, but we'll bring Kyle Mann back into the studio for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update after this.
Hit your stride early morning or slice into the afternoon at the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Courses. Special rates will make your game an even better value. You'll find early bird and twilight rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com. Enjoy the country setting of Gardner, the easygoing nature of Jones, the bustle and activity of Twin Pines, or the rolling hills of Ellis. Find early bird and after 2 p.m. twilight rates for the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Every deck is made for standing on, but there's only one that's always had a way of standing out. So if you're looking to bring more style, comfort, and creativity to your life outdoors, call on the brand that's known for making the most in outdoor living. From decking, railing, and lighting to furniture, fencing, and framing, at Trex, we're engineering what's next in outdoor living. To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, call 1-800-289-TREX or visit trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
When you're standing in the driveway late for work because your garage door won't go down, you don't have time for big door company games. So call Olinger Garage Doors, a small company with dedicated folks who are ready to roll up their sleeves and get you on your way. And they only use the best from North Central brand products. Olinger Garage Doors, based in Newhall, serving Cedar Rapids and the surrounding areas, is now hiring installers and service people who'd like to join their team. O-L-L-I-N-G-E-R, garagedoors.com.
It's 6:33, the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, making our way towards 7 o'clock. NBA Finals action on the way this evening. Do the Warriors close things out? That's the Emil's Hideaway poll question today. Vote at kgymradio.com, and more importantly, stop in at Emil's. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot, and tell them that we sent you. Say Todd and Alex from KGYM said we needed to come in and try the buffalo chicken wontons. That's just a suggestion, not an endorsement, right, Kyle? Because we don't do endorsements.
That's 100%
correct. So it's just a suggestion on my part. Kyle Mann with us here in the studio. Before we kick it over to a big board update, it is appearing that it is official that Butler will hire former Iowa basketball assistant LaValle Jordan as its next head coach, replacing Chris Holtman, who left on Friday to replace Thad Matta at Ohio State. Thad Matta himself, a former Butler coach and former Xavier. It's a circle of life, Hakuna Matata.
The Butler basketball program has been so successful hiring coaches, and LaValle Jordan is very, very much in the infancy stages of his head coaching career, but you talk about a program that has had very good success hiring coaches, and here another in a long line of good coaches being hired by the Bulldogs, and I don't think they skip a beat.
I'll tell you what, I know him personally, and I would wager a lot of money that he's able to keep it going at Butler. He's a very engaging personality. You put him in a living room with mom and dad and maybe grandma, and he's going to convince you to go to Butler and sell Indianapolis to you. There's no doubt about it. And you can't talk about that Butler legacy without talking about Todd Licklider. And I know the inclination of a lot of Iowa fans is to not give Todd Licklider any credit for being successful at Butler. You can't do that. He won those games. He recruited a lot of those players. And it was his players that were there after he left that went on to have great success. So you can't just say, well, Brad Stevens. And I don't know why I care so much, but that part has always bugged me. Because, again, I think Todd Licklider at Iowa was a bad fit, and he didn't have what it takes, and we've moved on for the most part from that. But he had 3 guys working on his staff who I knew personally, 2 of the 3 very well, and those guys busted their ass for the University of Iowa for 3 years. They weren't part of the problem. And there were a lot of times where I think they wanted to put their hands around Licklider's neck and try to convince him to see things their way, but that's not the way that things worked out. Do not bet against LaValle Jordan being successful at Butler. That's all I'm going to say. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Speaking of Iowa City, they're headquartered there. Midwest One, you're the one.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels were in action at home over the weekend with 15-5 and 5-3 victories over the Burlington Bees on Friday and Saturday, and a 4-1 loss yesterday. They played the final game of that series this afternoon, with the Colonels losing 1-0 after being no-hit into the 8th. It was announced this afternoon that Kinnick Stadium will now feature a black and gold Tiger Hawk at midfield. Iowa has not had a midfield logo since 1980. Hawkeye wrestler Thomas Gilman earned himself a spot on the United States World Team on Saturday after going 5-0 and defeating fellow former Hawkeye Tony Ramos in the finals of the World Team Trials. Gilman will be the stateside representative in the 57-kilogram bracket of the United World Wrestling Championships in Paris later this August. The Hawkeyes were fairly well represented in the finals of the NCAA Track and Field Championships on Saturday as well, led by hurdler Aaron Mallett finishing 4th in the 110-meter hurdles and sprinter Brittany Brown finishing 7th in the Open 200. Iowa also had a men's 4x4 that finished 3rd and 7 first-team All-Americans overall. The Iowa City West girls soccer team fell to Ames in the 3A state semifinals on Friday, and Ames went on to win its first state title with a 1-0 victory over Des Moines Valley. Lewis Central claimed the crown in 2A as well as Davenport Assumption in 1A. Starting at 7, immediately after our show, you can hear Game 5 of the NBA Finals on 1600 AM or 106.3 The South, Jim.
So Jim Callis's assumption about Brendan McKay falling to number 4 to the Rays,
yes,
is that correct? So he is correct with the number 4 overall pick, Brendan McKay to the Rays. And Mackenzie Gore, a left-handed high school pitcher, was drafted number 3 overall to the Padres. We talked about the Midwest League tie-ins, the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, the affiliate of the San Diego Padres.
And that's a Padres pick right there. That is a very Padres pick. They don't shy away from high school kids that are long on projection but have high ceilings. And you got to think that perhaps he'll pass through Cedar Rapids at some point in time, maybe 2 years from now when Fort Wayne comes back to town. So the Major League Baseball draft continuing. The Cubs have a couple picks today. Cardinals don't. White Sox pick at number 11 tonight, and they knocked it out of the park last year. I think they had one of the best drafts in 2016. We'll see whether they can do it again in 2016 or not. It's 6:39. We'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back, we'll get you ready again for the NBA Finals tonight right here on KGYM.
Hit your stride early morning or slice into the afternoon at the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Courses. Special rates will make your game an even better value. You'll find early bird and twilight rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com. Enjoy the country setting of Gardner, the easygoing nature of Jones, the bustle and activity of Twin Pines, or the rolling hills of Ellis. Find early bird and after 2 p.m. twilight rates for the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Every deck is made for standing on, but there's only one that's always had a way of standing out. So if you're looking to bring more style, comfort, and creativity to your life outdoors, call on the brand that's known for making the most in outdoor living. From decking, railing, and lighting to furniture, fencing, and framing, at Trex, we're engineering what's next in outdoor living. To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, call 1-800-289-TREX or visit trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. 3 environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010. 1-800-758-2010.
It's 6:41. Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. The Major League Baseball draft, the second biggest story in the world today, behind the University of Iowa announcing that a Tiger Hawk logo will be placed at midfield at Kinnick Stadium in time for the September 2nd home opener and season opener as Iowa takes on the University of Wyoming. 319-366-1600. Plenty of other stories going on in the sports world today. Lavelle Jordan, former Iowa assistant, said to be on the verge of taking over officially at Butler. Lavelle's been at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee for the last couple years and had the Panthers almost playing Cinderella this year. And they almost got into the NCAA tournament with a great run in their conference tournament. I think he'll do great things at Butler. Cornell has a new athletic director. He comes from the University of Alaska Anchorage. We mentioned that earlier today. And the Colonels, we've been talking a lot about the Twins here. Colonels almost no hit today. Travis Blankenhorn breaking things up late. Burlington almost a no-hitter by committee. The Angels do not allow their minor league pitchers at this level to go beyond five innings or six innings at the most. And it doesn't matter what the pitch count is. They limit the amount of innings. It really is fascinating to see how different organizations handle different players in different positions and, more importantly, how they handle pitching. And there's not a whole lot of talent on that Burlington team, but Cedar Rapids pounded them the first couple games of the series, and then they had, I think, a combined six hits over the last 2 days. Not good.
When the Colonels were the Angels affiliate, did they have the same restrictions on pitchers?
No, this is the new regime. I think it started after they deposed of Jerry DePoto as the general manager. Jerry DePoto, who winds up within the division in Seattle and has done some very nice things with bringing Scott Servais on board as the manager and putting some resources into the minor league system. I have always subscribed to the theory that you've got to develop your arms and you've got to just let the kids pitch. And if they get injured, it's a natural part of the process. I'm not talking about, you know, Davidson sending a guy out there with 110 pitches in the College World Series and the Super Regionals. But what I'm saying is these guys are professionals. Let them try to push it to the limit and don't baby them. Because to me, when you baby guys, and this is a lesson that applies not only to the sports world, but I think in life in general, when you baby somebody and you hold their hand at every turn in life, you are setting them up for failure. And so you've got a guy, let's look at the Dodgers here, and Julio Urias, who I still think is a tremendously talented left-handed pitcher. And ever since the Dodgers brought him into the organization when he was 16, 17 years old, he has been on a strict pitch count to the point where when they brought him up to the major leagues a couple years ago, they had to limit the number of starts that he made and they had to shift him to the bullpen because they were so worried about the number of innings that he was going to throw. Turn the kid loose, man. And I'm not saying go back to the 1970s where you're throwing 270, 300 innings a year. But guys like Fergie Jenkins and Nolan Ryan did it. They were the exception to the rule. But in any sport, you get the exception to the rule. Not everybody's LeBron James, and not everybody's Nolan Ryan. But this constant coddling of pitchers and the worry about pitch counts, and I understand where organizations are coming from, and there's so much money in these kids nowadays that they want to pamper them and wrap them in bubble wrap to try to get them to the major leagues and get the most out of them. There's no guarantee that a kid who's babied and brought along as slow as can be doesn't pick up a baseball someday and in a bullpen session a couple days before his next start hears something pop. I mean, there's no science to this. There really isn't. You can have a good idea, but there's no science.
We talked about Brendan McKay out of Louisville as a guy who was probably going to be drafted as a pitcher. That turns out not to be the case. The Tampa Bay Rays select Brendan McKay as a first baseman. Does that surprise you?
So they announced him as a first baseman?
They did. They announced him as a first baseman. Kyle Wright was chosen with a number 5 overall pick. But apparently, as Brendan McKay is trending right now on Twitter, Brendan McKay didn't know what position he was being drafted as. He was told on live TV that he was being picked as a first baseman.
This is fascinating to me, and I think it's a good play on Tampa Bay's part because it's a lot easier to go out and fail as a position player and go back to pitching than it is to start out as a pitcher and transition to position player. The only guy that I can think of that did it extremely well was Rick Ankiel. And people are going to look, and if you remember Rick Ankiel, you remember him as a pitcher with the Cardinals who had electric stuff. He was going to be the next Steve Carlton, great left-handed pitcher. And then in the postseason, he got the yips. He couldn't throw a strike to the point where he was drinking vodka before his starts to, quote, take the edge off. And not that that's a good idea for anybody to do, but it worked for him in the short term. His career got completely derailed, and then he worked his butt off to make it back to the major leagues as an outfielder. And you can look and you can go, man, he sucked. He wasn't that good.
He was a solid starting outfielder.
He was a solid major league starter, average major league starter. And for him to make that switch from pitching to position player, extremely difficult. So I like what Tampa Bay is doing there. Start the guy at first base, and if the bat eventually doesn't play in 2 or 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is, he's a college guy, so I would think that 2 or 3 years, they're going to know whether he can hit at the pro level or not. Then you try to put him on the mound. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's going to have a lot of opportunities to get to the big leagues as a left-handed pitcher if he doesn't get there as a left-handed bat.
Now, obviously the Reds selected Hunter Green as a pitcher. Do they think about going that direction? Or is that 102-mile-an-hour fastball just too much? I think it's interesting because the Reds are in a situation with that talented player. As talented as he is, there's got to be a way to, or they've got to be wondering right now how exactly they're going to use him early on, how they're going to try to develop him, especially knowing in the back of their minds, yeah, has that fastball, but he also has the power at the plate, and he apparently has a glove that was the SI writers compared to Alex Rodriguez at shortstop.
Man, I love the comp game.
I know.
You get it a lot. There were some Jeter comps thrown out with Hunter Green and a couple guys before the draft. I've always been a big fan of letting guys go out and be who they are. And I remember Alex Rodriguez, who made his professional debut in Davenport, Iowa. So there you go. Trivia question. What state did Alex Rodriguez play his first ever professional game at? The answer would be Iowa. He did it with the Appleton Foxes, who are now the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. Alex Rodriguez is an 18-year-old kid in the Midwest League. He played half a season here. That kid he carried himself like a major leaguer. I mean, you talk to John Bonenkamp the next time we have him on the program, who remembers talking to him because he covered the Burlington Bees that season. And there was just something about Alex Rodriguez. He carried himself like a major leaguer. And I've never been a big fan of the comp game because when you compare somebody to another player, whether it's good or bad, not only do you put a tremendous amount of pressure on that kid, but a lot of times I think it's just flat out wrong and or lazy to do. Why can't we just see what the first Hunter Green looks like as opposed to saying he's the next fill in the blank? You know, I want to see what Hunter Green develops into. I want to see, you know, what the kids that are drafted tonight, who they turn out to be. The A's have taken a kid by the name of Austin Beck with the 6th overall pick. He was a perfect game kid. Perfect Game has worked with a lot of these kids, which is amazing that this organization started here in Cedar Rapids with Jerry Ford and what he's built. And that's part of the reason why I always keep track of the draft to see some of these guys. But just let's let these guys be who they are and enjoy the process.
Well, I think that that's what makes living in a minor league baseball town so different from a lot of baseball fans throughout the country, because people that live in a major league market get to see the major league team and they get to read about the minor league players. For us who live here in Cedar Rapids, especially with these young kids, these 18 and 19 year old kids, not everybody gets to go to Veterans Memorial Stadium or any of these stadiums in the Midwest League and see these guys play firsthand before pretty much anybody else does. So I think that's kind of unique, especially when you start reading about certain guys and what you read about doesn't exactly back up what you see in person. And you see, you kind of sit back and realize that thousands of people around the country, millions of people around the country are reading these reports and they've never actually gotten to see these kids play.
And I think that's a great point about seeing some of these. My final point on the draft, and we'll talk a little bit about this tomorrow, but we sort of geeked out on it here in hour number three tonight. The draft is a crapshoot. It is an inexact science, and there is no better indicator of that than the 2006 Major League Baseball draft, when Kansas City took Luke Hochaver, number one overall, widely regarded as the consensus number one overall pick that year.
Out of?
The University of Tennessee. Old Rocky Top. Colorado took Greg Reynolds with the second pick out of Stanford. Right-handed pitcher, made it to the major leagues. Might still be there. I don't know. That's not a good sign. Evan Longoria went to the Rays at number three out of Long Beach State. The next two picks are Brad Lincoln and Brandon Morrow by the Pirates and Mariners, respectively, a pair of college pitchers. Number six, Andrew Miller by the Detroit Tigers. But Andrew Miller was drafted as a starting pitcher. He was going to be the next left-handed ace starting pitcher, and it took him a decade to become a dominant relief pitcher. But in between, he was viewed as a failure. At number seven, Clayton Kershaw goes to the Dodgers, the first high school pitcher taken, first high school player taken in that draft. You think even Longoria at number three to the Rays, if you think you gave six of those teams a mulligan,
they would
each
all take
one
that
of
number
them is
seven,
taking Kershaw.
Every one of them.
But wait until the, after Kershaw at eight and nine, Drew Stubbs goes to the Reds and Billy Roll goes to the Baltimore Orioles. Roll never made it to the major leagues. At 10, you think the Giants hit a home run with Tim Lincecum. Okay, man, how can you do better than that with the 10th overall pick? The team right behind him, the Arizona Diamondbacks, drafted Max Scherzer and then threw Scherzer in a deal, gave up on him, basically. Didn't think he was going to develop into anything. Now he's the ace of the Washington Nationals. 6:54, a little bit of draft talk tomorrow. We'll see what direction we go in with some of the other topics, but baseball heavy here with the NBA Finals. Maybe coming to a close tonight. We've got to take a break. Come back. Kyle's going to get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then we're going to get out of here for the night. Back after this.
Every deck is made for standing on, but there's only one that's always had a way of standing out. So if you're looking to bring more style, comfort, and creativity to your life outdoors, call on the brand that's known for making the most in outdoor living. From decking, railing, and lighting to furniture, fencing, and framing, at Trex, we're engineering what's next in outdoor living. To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, call 1-800-289-TREX or visit trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
6:55, and we welcome you back to the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. A third piece of the puzzle here for the last week and a half has been producer Kyle Mann. He's in the studio for your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels were in action over the weekend with 15-5 and 5-3 victories over the Burlington Bees on Friday and Saturday, and a 4-1 loss yesterday. They played the final game of that series this afternoon, with the Colonels losing 1-0 after being no-hit into the eighth. It was announced this afternoon that Kinnick Stadium will now feature a black and gold Tigerhawk at midfield. Iowa has not had a midfield logo since 1980. Hawkeye wrestler Thomas Gilman earned himself a spot on the United States World Team on Saturday after going 5-0 and defeating fellow former Hawkeye Tony Ramos in the finals of the World Team Trials. Gilman will be the stateside representative in the 57-kilogram bracket of the United World Wrestling Championships in Paris this August. The Hawkeyes were fairly well represented in the finals of the NCAA Track and Field Championships on Saturday as well, led by hurdler Aaron Mallett finishing fourth in the 110-meter hurdles and sprinter Brittany Brown finishing seventh in the Open 200. Iowa also had a men's 4x4 that finished third and seven first-team All-Americans selected. The Iowa City West girls soccer team fell to Ames in the 3A state semifinals on Friday, and Ames went on to win its first state title over West Des Moines Valley. Lewis Central claimed the crown in 2A, as well as Davenport Assumption in 1A. Starting at 7 right here after our show, you can hear Game 5 of the NBA Finals on 1600 AM or 106.3 The South Gym.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Who's coming up on the program tomorrow?
Well, Tommy Watkins is going to be joining us, as well as Ed Creech, and possibly another guest will keep you updated.
Perfect timing. A lot of baseball, but we've got some college basketball to talk about, and maybe the NBA Finals will be continuing. Maybe they won't. Find out now here on KGYM. See you tomorrow.
If construction is your trade, you already know the new silicon protection standards will go into effect soon. Star Equipment is prepared and ready to help make the transition easy.